where we started when we reached the conference room. Silent and I bore the brunt because we are Darling's favorites. Seldom do I see such unanimity among my brethren. Even Goblin and One Eye spoke with a single voice, and those two will fight over whether it is night or day with the sun at high noon. Darling prowled like a caged beast. She had doubts. They nagged her. "Two taken in Rust," I argued. "That's what Corder said. One of them our oldest and nastiest enemy." "Break them, and we will shatter their entire plan of campaign," she countered. "Break them? Girl, you're talking about the Limper. I proved he is invincible before." "No, you proved that he will survive unless you are thorough. You might have burned him." "Yeah, or cut him into pieces and fed him to the fish, or given him a swim in a vat of acid or a dust bath in quicklime. But those things take time. We had the lady herself coming down on us. We barely got away as it was." "Assuming we can get there undetected, which I do not believe for a moment, and manage total surprise, how long before all the Taken get on us?" I signed vigorously, more angry than frightened. I never refuse, Darling, ever, but this time I was ready. Her eyes flashed. For the first time ever, I saw her battle her temper. She signed, "If you will not accept orders, you should not be here. I am not the lady. I do not sacrifice pawns for small gain. I agree, there is great risk in this operation, but far less than you argue, with potential impact far greater than you suppose. Convince me." "That I cannot do. If you are captured, you must not know." I was primed. "You just telling me that is enough for the Taken to get on a trail." Maybe I was more scared than I could admit. Or maybe it was just an all-time case of the contraries. "No," she signed. There was something more, but she held it back. Silent dropped a hand on my shoulder. He had given up. The lieutenant joined him. "You're overstepping yourself, Croker." Darling repeated, "If you will not accept orders, Croker, leave." She meant it. "Really?" I stood with mouth open, stunned. "All right." I stamped out. I went to my quarters, shuffled those obstinate old papers, and, of course, found not a damned thing new. They left me alone for a while. Then Elmo came. He did not announce himself. I just glanced up and found him leaning against the doorframe. By then, I was half ashamed of my performance. "Yeah?" "Mail call," he said, and tossed me another of those oilskin packets. I snapped it out of the air. He departed without explaining its appearance. I placed it on my work table, wondered. Who? I knew no one in Orr. Was it some sort of trick? The lady is patient and clever. I would not put past her some grand maneuver using me. I guess I must have thought about it an hour before, reluctantly, I opened the packet. Chapter 14. The Story of Bowmans. Croker. Bowmans and Tokar stood in one corner of the shop. "What do you think?" Bowmans asked. "Bring a good price." Tokar stared at the pièce de résistance of Bowmans's new Tel Curry collection.